Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Brams. It is a victory Monday on the show, Danny. It's great to see you, and it's a thrilling, thrilling Charlotte FC victory. It's great to see. It's great to be in a celebratory mood this evening.
Oh, we're celebrating. We are celebrating, Johnny. I got my Ally silicone cup here, courtesy of the club. Gotta love that. Drinking some late night coffee because I'm a madman. I'm a wild man. And I guess I don't need to sleep tonight, but I'm just, that's how hyped up I am, baby, because it's what we're calling this one. We're calling this one Crown Cruising into Decision Day after 10 points in four matches. After following up a three-match losing streak that was right before this four-match stretch, it feels pretty good.
Patrick Aujamang puts an exclamation mark on what was another great night at the Keep. This kid, Danny Brams, he keeps coming through for the Crown. How good did it feel to see that second goal go in and feel a little bit of like this game's, as they say across the pond, done and dusted?
Done and dusted, baby. It felt great. And it's almost because, you know, a veteran would tell you, you know, in that situation, like, oh, you're trying to run out the clock. You get the ball in an advanced position. You're all alone. You don't have support. Just dribble that thing into the corner, kill some more clock, try to kill off the match, as it were. But Pat's like, how about I just go score a sick goal?
A beautiful goal. It was a get out of your seat kind of goal. The step overs, the cheeky chipped finish, a great ball from Brant Bronico just sets him loose down the left-hand side of the pitch. It's a beautiful thing to see. And at this point, I'm yelling, take him on, take him on.
Right. Nobody wants to see him go to the corner when it's 1v1 like that.
And to head to his left foot and take that extra touch and chip it over the keeper was a really special moment and added time in the second half to just really, really seal this as a fantastic evening, a great crowd there. And what a player Danny Brams, Charlotte FC, has in this Patrick Aujamang.
It's such a great goal. It's so sick. It's a beautiful tackle from Yuri Tavares as Montreal's trying to set something up. Yuri gets in there, gets all ball, no foul committed. Brant pounces on it and sends one up. And then it's just, if you're a defender in this situation, working one-on-one against Patrick Aujamang at the top of the box, you're helpless.
It's almost like the defender there was okay with Pat getting on his left foot. And that was a bad, bad decision. Yeah. Because as soon as Pat went there, he was thinking, where's the back of the net?
It looked like one of those goals that Patrick used to score for Crown Legacy, where he's just completely got the defender overmatched and he can just do whatever he wants. Beautiful things.
It carries over into MLS for sure. Mm-hmm. But that was the second goal of the evening. There was an opener, Danny, by another striker that's on this team. This team has two very good strikers heading into what you would call the most important part of the season. Karol Swiderski, Danny Brams, is back here in Charlotte, and he's scoring goals.
Yeah, Karol scored a nice goal, a goal that you attribute to persistence, kind of like the Liel Abada goal the other day, where the opener against New England, where it was a matter of like sticking with the play. Karol did something similar, and we'll call up the highlight right now if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple, we'll just describe it. But it's a rocket shot from Liel Abada at the top of the box that the goalkeeper, Sirwa, has no chance of handling. And Karol knows to pounce on that now.
It's a goal from a striker that is in the right place at the right time. You like to see that. You know, mm-hmm. It's a player as playing the position well and taking up the right positions when you can score poacher-like goals in front of the net. That's what I would call that kind of goal, Danny. A poached goal in front of the net.
And it's a well-worked play on the wing there, a little 1-2 to get Abada into space to fire it away. I think Pep Biel had gone all the way over to the left side of the pitch from his right wing position, and Karol just slides in there and does well to not foul the keeper as well. Make sure he gets his toe to it first. They took a lengthy review of this one to make sure they thought it might have been a foul, but no, that's clean. Karol got in there, made it happen. And of course, you know, he does this celebration, his little, I'm not a huge fan of this celebration, but whatever, do you, Karol, you love to see it. And if you watch, I did a quick Decoding the Presser episode last night because Carroll, for a rare appearance, actually got out and spoke to the media post game. I guess they held his feet to the, you know, Woody Wilder and his comms team said, Carroll, I know you like to sneak out of here early, but you got to go talk to the press today, buddy, because they've been dying to talk to you. He only spoke for about 4 minutes. I think he took like four or five questions, but at least he got, you know, to say some things, get off some things off his chest. He spoke about sort of how, you know, it did affect him when half the fan base was kind of like, yeah, we don't really want Carroll back when he was coming back from Hellas Verona. But I broke that all down on Decoded and the Presser. Like I said, go back and watch that in the feed. But it's interesting to hear that, you know, that stuff does get to a guy. And, you know, players are humans is something I like to say. Players are humans too. But at the same time, when you're the highest or one of the highest paid players on the team and your salary's creeping up there into the 6- and 7-figure mark, you know, you gotta be willing to take a little bit of stick sometimes. And fans love goal scorers. And when you're scoring goals, it's great. When you're not scoring goals, it's not so great. But right now, Carroll Swiderski's scoring goals. It's a Swiderski resurgence, John. Do you believe in it?
I believe in the goal scoring for sure. It's the proof is there to be seen. Carroll's back. He's scoring goals. And that's good for everybody, all parties involved. That's mm-hmm. how I would describe it for sure. And I think having Carroll back and contributing is the most important thing. He needs to make sure that he scores goals like this. If he goes on a run of form here in the end of MLS regular season and goes into the playoffs and bags goals there and takes Charlotte on a bit of a run, the European transfer window opens when, Danny Brams?
Not soon enough. I don't know. You tell me. It's really all about at this point, the questions start to swirl because it's like, do we want to keep Carroll? Do we want Carroll to stick around now that he's scoring all these goals? You know, he had the goal against Miami. He had the brace against New England, against Chicago. He's on a run of scoring goals, and they're open play goals. They're not just penalties anymore. So do we want to keep him? Do we reinstate the nickname King Carroll that we used to call him by before he broke hearts and betrayed souls, you know, and made his move to Europe and acted like he was too good for Charlotte? Is King Carroll back? I don't know. I'm still weighing that question in my own mind. Or is it like, okay, he's getting these goals. This is the perfect time to sell him. He still doesn't really want to be here, we don't think. He still has his European dreams in his head. It's tough to know, but I mean, you look at his face. He seems pretty happy. He loves to hear it. Is the resurgence real? Is he King Carroll? What do you think, John? I need your help to help me decide where I'm going to go with this.
Well, he's always been part of the royal family. Once you become the king, you know, it's hard to really lose that title, isn't it?
I mean, king without a crown. He was kind of a deposed king for a while there. I don't know.
Yes, he was exiled for sure.
Yes. Yes.
And yes. And somehow he's pulled something off to come back and reclaim his throne. So I'll say yes, the resurgence is real, and King Carroll is definitely back here in Charlotte for the stretch run. And that's a good thing, because you can tell he's loving what he's doing, which is scoring goals. And when Carroll is scoring goals, then Carroll's a happy player and can really do for this club what the designated player is supposed to do, which is win you playoff games and playoff series mm-hmm. potentially.
Yeah, it's looking really good, John. I'm going to pop up. Let's pop up the old table here. I got a little table graphic made for the people, and break this down for me. After beating Montreal, but after New York City still, you know, with their 3 wins in a row, they've been in great form. Orlando's 3 wins in a row, 4 out of 5. Charlotte, it's going to be tough to move out of this. It's the fourth with Orlando winning on Saturday. Fourth place is now out of reach. I know Dean, even in his most recent presser, had talked a little bit about fourth place still being a goal, but we're sitting sixth. We could drop down to seventh. We probably won't get up to fifth. I actually kind of, for my money, I think sixth is a sweet spot for Charlotte FC right now, matchup-wise. You look at if this form holds through decision day, then we're matched up with Cincinnati, who's lost 3 in a row, hasn't had a win since 5 matches ago. They've got injury issues in Cincinnati. We've matched up fairly well against Cincinnati, despite, you know, sort of dominating presence of Lucho Acosta. Cincinnati seems a lot less scary now than they did a month ago, and I honestly would rather play Cincy than Orlando or New York City at this point.
It's remarkable, and I think I agree that I would maybe want to play either of those teams, but I'm not in that position right now to just say, hey, I want to play this team or that team. I just want to get in a good position, which I think, as you know, is in that 4-2-5 range. If you can get in that 4-5 matchup, I think that's a really good place to
be. Yeah, but if you're 4-5, let's say you win your playoff series, your reward for winning your first-round playoff series is a date with Inter-Miami in the 1-4 part of the bracket. So I don't know.
Well, you're going to have to play him at some point, so you might as well play him when you're on a great run of form.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
might
fair.
Be a good time to catch him. Imagine if Charlotte FC beats DC United, right? And then goes and wins a playoff series in that 4-5 spot. They're feeling confident. They're feeling good about themselves. They tied 1-1 with Miami in the past, just recently, right?
Yeah.
And from that point of view, maybe there's some belief there. Maybe Charlotte FC pulls the upset, which is a whole different conversation about what the ceiling is for this squad now with Karol Swiderski and Leal Abada both now in form.
Are you saying we fear no one on this table, but essentially that Charlotte FC is just ready to rock and just give us our playoff matchup and we'll take whoever comes down the pipe?
Well, here's why I'll say that. Not exactly in the way that you phrased it. I think I would put it in these terms. Just drew Inter Miami, beat Columbus this year, beat Cincinnati this season, beat Orlando this season, beat NYCFC this season.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, you think you could win a match at home, and could you steal one on the road? Could you force? I don't know the rules for the three-game series.
Maybe in PKs. Yeah, maybe it's PKs. We go win in PKs. Yeah. If I remember right, I could be wrong about this. Check me, but I think there's no extra time. I think it's just 90 minutes and straight to PKs for the first round series. I could be wrong, but
it's our first time at the party. It's our first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we made the wild card last year, and we were in it. We were in the playoffs for about 20 minutes before New York Red Bull started pouring goals on us. So yeah,
I think that's a great topic for conversation. Just this feeling that this club is still doing things for the first time, Danny. Yeah. It's year three, and we can pretend like the club had a playoff game last year. They did on the road. They got smoked, but this will be the first time that the Fortress hosts a playoff game, which should be a great, when you think about a three-game series, that's a great advantage. Mm-hmm. When you're the lesser seed, that you get one at home. And from that perspective, it's, you know, would you prefer it be a 180 minute tie? Just
with games? Like away goals rule or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I guess that wouldn't. Tie. I guess that wouldn't benefit the higher seed, though. I guess you have to figure out a way to benefit the higher seed.
Right. That's the take that I've heard. When I've heard people advocate for that, and they say that's not enough advantage for the higher seed. The higher seed deserves two home matches. I like soccer. I like more soccer. So I really don't have a problem. I know that I would call the MLS playoff format that debuted last year a little wonky and different, but at the same time, kind of that's what MLS is all about, is being different than any other league. So I say steer into it, embrace it, and don't hate the player, hate the game. I'm thinking about firsts, like you mentioned. I really think that's like a really romantic way to put it, is that, you know, here in year three, we can still experience, you know, some firsts for the first time with this club. And I'm thinking about that wild card matchup last year and my my dominant memory of watching – well, first – probably the best thing I saw in that was Kerwin Vargas' bicycle kick goal that gave us like momentary hope for just a second. But I remember, and if you go back, you'll hear us talk about it in the episode we did last year about 51 weeks ago of watching the match at Camp North End. And there was like a big screen outdoors and there was a big screen indoors. And the indoors one was about 45 seconds ahead of the outdoor one. So you knew, like, if we'd get a promising attack, if I'm watching on the outdoor screen, if we get this promising attack, it's like, oh, are we going to score? Are we going to get a goal here? But you hadn't heard any, like, big cheer come up from the inside crowd. You knew that nothing was going to come of it. And it was just that feeling of hopelessness. And I really feel like, just on that theme of first, I'm kind of with you, John, where, yes, we were in the playoffs last year, but I don't know that I felt like we were a playoff team last year.
Charlotte FC is now. That's the good thing, right? Where it's like we are that now. which is a check mark on it, it puts it in bold, right? It was there an, you know, was there an asterisk next to it? Maybe was it a check mark just like in light pencil? Now you can strike that in ink, in pen, and say that Charlotte FC has made the playoffs, this new three game series style playoffs in MLS, which is really fun.
Yeah. It's we're hosting a playoff match for the first time, and that's going to be a special experience. I can't wait, you know, like can't wait to see that charge come through on my credit card for the pay as we play automated ticket purchase come through for season ticket members. And I can't wait to be in the stands watching the squad play do or die soccer. It's going to be great. Knockout soccer. Who it's about damn time.
One thing I wanted to say after looking at that table was that the last time I was on the show, we talked about Charlotte FC having one of the worst five-game stretches in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was turn that around and go four games unbeaten, which is a heck of a turnaround in the situation that this club was in. So props for turning that around, and props to Dean Smith, who Danny Bram, do you think he's getting it right tactically?
I think he's getting it right. I mean, he's been playing the same lineup for, you know, the all four of these matches. And I think we can talk a little bit about that. What happened? What did he do? He brought in Junior Urso back to the starting lineup just for a little bit of that, you know, some of that strength, some of that bite, you know. I mean, Jabril Diani, strong player, but just nothing quite like the experience, the MLS experience of Junior Urso and what he brings. And
what's interesting is that I think that Junior Urso got to sit on the bench and watch Diani play the position the way Dean Smith wanted it to be played. And then he could just like step right in and do it and maybe a more effective way.
Yeah, and contribute a little more offensively, defensively. You know, he got the goal against Chicago, which was really nice, which turned out to be a crucial goal because of the way things went in that wild 4-3. We needed all four of those goals. And then you think about moving Pep Biel out to the wing. I wasn't a fan of it. I thought I wanted to see Pep in that central, you know, central midfield attacker role. But he's right wing by name. But you saw the goal that Carroll scored that we played the highlight clip of. He had migrated over to the left. Pep is kind of free. He's the silky Spanish midfielder who gets to go wherever he needs to go, you know?
He's in the pockets. That's what Dean Smith would say. Pep's in the pockets. Yes. And hey, whether he's playing right wing, whether he's playing in that pocket position, is it a 4-4-2? Is it a 4-3-3? I think it's a combination of both, with Pep Biel having the freedom to roam in that right central area. So almost think about it as a 4-3-2 with the one player that can really go wherever he wants.
I mean, is that a Pep in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? You know, it's absolutely fantastic. You know, like why the hell not? We got to go with it. And then bringing Andrew Privet back, play Privet and win, you know, like bringing Privet back into the back line for that partnership with Milanda. You know,
and kept it rolling. Kept it rolling on that back line. He basically said, hey, Tim Ream, you now play right back.
Yeah, yeah, or left back. But it's like,
left we back, hate, excuse me.
We hate to see Yere Yurinen, quality player. He's a guy that you trust on a dead ball. He's a guy that you know.
But you really don't miss him.
Yeah, he didn't do anything wrong to get dropped, but it's a better back line with Privet and Milanda partnership and then Ream's experience out there on the left back spot.
But the only concern is Ream potentially having to go up against a pacey winger at some point and get caught and being caught out wide. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's another position that's a roaming position. So maybe we shouldn't think about it as a 4-3-2 with a roamer. We should maybe think of it as like a 3-3-2 with two guys who roam on the in their area of the field, where Tim Ream is just kind of there to make plays and show a little class and complete passes. And Pep Biel is there to just play attacking midfield / winger / striker. And that's the secret formula, because the 3-3-2 is solid behind that.
Yeah. And guys know how to play with it. Like this is another thing where I've kind of been like, Dino keeps saying, oh, these guys just need experience. They just need to play with each other. They need to combine and learn each other's tendencies, and they'll know how to work together more. And I was like, they should have figured it out by now. And yet we are starting to see some of the fruit being born in terms of experience is paying off for these guys. You know, experience together is finally paying off. And that's why you play the same lineup four matches in a row. If it isn't broke, you don't fix it, you know?
The fruit is born, for sure. It has been born, this fruit that it's a cornucopia, potentially, here, Danny Brams.
Just in time for fall, you know? Might as well get it going.
Waiting for a beautiful time of the year. How far can Charlotte FC play into the fall? We're going to find out in the next 3 weeks. It's an off week, mm-hmm. this weekend, the weekend of the 13th, and Charlotte FC will finish the season on Decision Day in D.C.
Yep.
After
on
that,
the 19th.
On the 19th, after that, the playoff wild card round will probably be in a couple days, and those series will start probably that following weekend. Yep. So that, if you do the, you know, that's about 3 weeks from now to where that'll happen.
Yep.
2 weeks.
Three weeks is the time frame we're looking, but then there's another international break. If we win that first playoff series, which could take a week, then there's another international break after that. And then, so, you know, if we can keep winning, we can get this thing going deep into November, to be perfectly honest, which would be absolutely bonus soccer and just fun high stakes soccer and just the best soccer there is, which is knockout, which is everything is on the line with every touch of the ball. Every minute of extra time is like a knife in your heart when you want that clock to keep ticking, or it's like a lifeline when you need that, you know, when you need to go get an equalizing goal or something like that.
The good news is it won't just be one and done like it was last season, right? Even if you're getting mm-hmm. smoked, they'll have a game for sure, which is awesome. There's another team in town, Danny Brams, that has qualified for the playoffs. It's not just about Charlotte FC. We're wearing the kits tonight for sure. And we're proud to do that, but one of us should be wearing some Charlotte Independence colors as well. The Jacks are going to the playoffs again in USL League One, which is a really good thing for the city.
Yep.
Danny Brams, that we had the, I don't think Mike Jeffries, if you asked him, he'd be thrilled with the table position right now.
They kind of backed into the playoffs. Yeah, for sure.
But the key is the Independents once again have a chance to win a trophy. That's what yeah. the race. It's a race for a trophy.
Get hot at the right time, peak at the right time. Indies, the Jacks are in the playoffs. The Crown's in the playoffs. Crown Legacy is in their next pro playoffs. The Ascent are just dominating in the USL Super League.
Still unbeaten.
Yeah, and even Scott Fowler, the columnist for the Charlotte Observer, had to recognize, and he put out a column today that said, you know, who said Charlotte's not a postseason town? You know, which is, it's nice that soccer can carry the banner for the Queen City in a world where the Panthers are just absolute garbage and the Hornets don't look to be doing much better once their season gets started here in the next little bit. So
it's a really strong finish to what was a rocky season. And I think what's really nice about this decision day is that it doesn't feel like there's a lot of pressure. It feels like the team can yeah. enjoy it. It feels like people around the club can enjoy it, which is really nice, but it's still important to go into that match and do your best with your top lineup.
Well, the pressure on decision day is going to be on DC United, because they're trying to hold a playoff spot. You know, they're trying, and they can even, they can't move higher. They can't get out of that 8-9 matchup, but they need to hold it. And so they're the ones that have to bring the game to us and try to get points. We're going to be fine. It'd be great to stay ahead of Red Bulls. Red Bulls plays Columbus on decision day. So if we figure they're kind of in a tough spot, we figure they are probably going to lose to Columbus. And so Charlotte FC is probably going to hold that sixth spot, I think, could fall to seventh. But really all the pressure's on DC, and they're the ones that have to make something happen. And that's a good place for Charlotte to be. You know, because we like the opponents being the ones that are feeling like they're the ones that have to make something happen. That opens things up for us. Maybe they'll make the big mistake that we can capitalize on.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. He's Danny Brams. I'm John Hayes. And this is something that we have to talk about as well. Look at this. Bronny Bro raises $50,000 for Beds for Kids, his charitable foundation, or his, there is a Beds for Kids, which is an existing charitable foundation, and Brant Bronico has partnered with them. It's a fantastic cause. Danny, you were there. Congratulations to all of you who made this happen. And congratulations to Brant, especially for being a great ambassador for the club here locally, but also balling out here in the final stretch of the season. You know, you got to give kudos where they're due. And right now, I think it's okay to give the team its flowers because, once again, the form was poor. It was bad. And then one thing happened that changed the entire season. It was the question heard around the world.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be said. It had to be asked. You know, a friend of ours called it Boring Gate the other day, as far as just like
a friend of the show.
Yeah. And what happened, I mean, by this point, if you're following our show, you're probably familiar with all this. But at a press conference ahead of New England, you know, I got in there and I said to Dean, and here's the deal. Like, people have given me props and it feels good. People are like, oh, Danny Brams, you know, you told Dean the team was boring and they turned it around and everything's been great since then. Dude, I was just merely a vessel. I'm honored and blessed to be a vessel in terms of relaying a message that I had heard from you, John, and from other friends as we watch games. And we're like, God, this team is like a chore to watch and we don't want to do it anymore if they're going to keep screwing around and, you know, losing to Atlanta, you know, and things like that, like at home, losing to Atlanta at home. Are you kidding me? Like, and in a very unappealing fashion, and the team was playing bad soccer. And so you said it, friends of ours said it. I got the chance to relay that message to Dean, and everything has turned around ever since then.
It's an impactful moment, and we joke about it, but we talk about it because we think it's interesting. It honestly is that there was, you know, some people that, you know, we talked to that said it had an impact, and you guys talked about it. I listened to the latest episode you did with Danny Brackets, which was fantastic. You guys talked about it, but I just wanted to say, and Dean addressed it the next day in the post game presser. You know, mm-hmm. we saw that as well. So I think it was one of those moments that it wasn't precalculated on your part either. It's not like you were trying to light a match. You were just trying to get an honest reaction to what you thought was a fair question.
Yeah, it was when we were watching the Orlando match at Belfast Mill. We went up, I left work early, raced up to get up there, and I was like so excited to watch like midweek soccer. And then the team just looked like absolute trash against Orlando. And I was just like, you and I were turning to each other and like, this is boring. This is hard to watch. And Luke was there and some other friends were there. And it was just like,
shout out. Like,
it had to be, the message had to be relayed in some form or fashion. So thankfully, I got a chance to tell Dean and it worked out and things have been better ever since then. And I think it's great. The team is not, since then, the team has like what, 4 goals against New England, 4 goals against Chicago, an opener against Miami on the road, and then 2 goals with a beautiful cherry on top from Adjumong, Saturday night against Montreal. Montreal's always been a bugaboo for this club, trying to beat Montreal. We were able to handle them at home and really dominate them. And we kind of turned around and made Montreal look boring. So that we've come full circle through the looking glass and all that. And it's a beautiful thing.
My next question comes from a place of just genuine interest, is about next steps for the club as far as, yes, you want to get a trophy, you want to get silverware, that hasn't happened yet. And the only bit of trophy to acquire this season is the MLS Cup. So you're going to go for it. Dean Smith is trying to go for it because this is the trophy that's up for grabs this season. And he likes to play for trophies. So when you think about it from that perspective, the question really could be, what's the limit? What's the ceiling for what we're seeing right now? One of the best forms in MLS. We saw how quickly it can change and become good. You know, can it change the other way and the form drop off quickly with a long break like this, potentially before the first series?
Yeah.
With one match in 2 weeks before.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a slow march. It's going to be a slow march through these playoffs. So we're going to have to take it game by game and be ready to deal with these international breaks that break up the playoff schedule, like I said. 2 weeks to get healthy. We saw Pep Biel come off with maybe a bit of a knock there against Montreal. We saw Labada feeling his hamstrings. That lineup, that starting 11 that played four straight matches in the span of 2 weeks. I actually think this first break is going to be really nice for them. I'm a little nervous about if they are to win the first playoff series, that next break that comes after the first round of MLS playoffs is going to be probably feel pretty – it's going to piss us off because we will have advanced and we'll be like, we got to keep this thing going.
I'm not thinking that far ahead for what it's worth.
You're taking it game by game?
I'm not that far ahead after the first series. The break after that, I'm not worried about the mental state there. I'm not ready to break that down. It's just that's too far in the distance. Too many things to think about before that at this point.
I love it, taking it game by game. So let's talk about this then, since we don't really know who the opponent is yet. We got 2 weeks till we play DC. There's a topic I want to close tonight's episode on, and this has been great to get back on the mics with you, John, after a little bit. But we talk about call Pat is the mantra around these parts. Well, how about sign Pat? Patrick Ojemong, he's under contract through 2026, I believe, even, on his rookie deal. But this guy is criminally underpaid now for the contributions he's making. And I just want to know, like, what do you think is going to take for Patrick Ojemong to get his due and to get some love? And why do you think it might be harder to extend this guy than people realize?
Well, because he's peaking at the right time. And he clearly knows his worth. Now, whether he's in on the negotiations or not, I haven't seen anything reported on that. And you know that he's got an agent, and you know that his agent is in negotiations with Charlotte FC to get a deal done. I have seen reports, Danny, that Patrick Ojemong and is kind of next on Charlotte FC's list. Wouldn't you say that?
Oh, he's got to be. He's got to be. I think after Kalina, the Kalina deal, I think, was a key one. Kalina had to be extended because his contract was up at the end of this year. Like I said, Patrick's still technically under contract, but every day that goes by, every goal that gets scored, every sick little step over and then cross it back to the left and then chip it over like we're just watching here on YouTube, every one of those just makes it so that every one of those that goes by without the new contract, without the raise, without more money, like show me the money, right? Like it just builds a little bit. It's like a wedge, and that wedge can get in there, and that wedge can start to divide. And I just think it's like this guy's done good. He's our lead, despite the King Carroll resurgence that we talked about at the start of the episode, Patrick's still by far the leader on the club in goal contributions with goals plus assists. And we got to reward the kid. We can't afford to piss this guy off, basically.
It's not even about like pissing him off, because I think Patrick is not part of the negotiations. I can confidently say that I don't, Pat is not part of the negotiations, and he really doesn't want to do anything except for sign with Charlotte FC. That's what he wants to do. There's no doubt about that.
But it's just up to his agent and the club representatives making a deal. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes, for sure. And that's what we're going to be looking for here in the next 3-4 weeks.
I mean, I hope they're working on it. I hope they're, while we're recording this episode, I hope they're having the conversation. I know it's late on a Monday night, but I think it's the number one thing that fans want to see. I think it was appropriate to get Kalina done first, and I think it was made a lot of sense to get a lot of the defensive extensions done. Milanda, Privet, Byrne, all re-signing and extending their contracts, all great. But the time, like, there's no one else on the list now. The list, it's like your checklist. Everything on your to-do list is checked off except for giving Patrick Ojemong his money.
Right. That's exactly right. And we'll figure out what happens here soon, but we can confidently say that they're definitely in negotiations, and we know Pat's hype deal is now, this is a hype deal, right? It's everybody thinks at this point, it wasn't before. It wasn't a hype deal before. It wasn't. Now it is. Now I'm seeing other podcasts talk about it. I'm seeing other people in the Charlotte FC community talk about Pat's deal and his worth. And I saw the words, I saw people talking about Pat being maybe one of the hottest prospects in MLS.
Yeah.
People are saying that.
Yeah.
People are saying that, Danny.
friends of mine that follow European soccer more closely than MLS, but I send them these highlight clips and they're like, shit, this guy could be good. You know, like what is this guy available? You know, can my club over in Bundesliga sign this guy and things like that. So, I mean, he's going to become a hotter and hotter commodity the more he keeps finishing off these really nice goals. Cause he's more than just a big, powerful guy. He's a incredibly technically skilled, like good on his feet, smart player. And he hasn't always done the exact right thing with the ball every time this year, but more than often than not, he does. And that's reflected in his stats, which again, he's the leading goal plus assist contributor on the club by a good stretch.
A special player for sure. Very, very special player for Charlotte FC. I think that he'll get signed. I think that he will.
You feeling confident?
No, I'm not feeling confident that he'll get signed like today, but I think that he will.
I think
that both sides want a deal done for sure.
I love it. So call Pat and sign. Instead of calling Pat, let's call Pat's agent and let's get this thing done. You know what I'm saying?
I've got somebody else that actually probably should get a phone call.
Huh? I like that. Insider, you got insider knowledge on us? You want to see anything you care to share?
You got to call the big man.
Oh.
Got to call Daddy Tep. Daddy Tep's got to get that wallet out and write a pretty big check to Patrick Ajimong for his future work and also for his past contribution, you know, contributions to the team, considering when Charlotte FC had Enzo Capetti, who was just a horrible fit for the club. They needed somebody to step up and actually provide goals, and Pat did that. Mm-hmm. So he should be paid for that, and he should be also paid for being one of the best strikers in MLS moving forward. I'm telling you, when you're a defense and you come into Bank of America Stadium, Danny, it's a problem to know that Pat's about to come on or Pat's on the pitch and is trying to body you and beat you with pace and skill all match. It's one of the toughest matchups in MLS. And there's a list of 10. I think there's I'm talking about from a strict striker position. You know, obviously Luis Suarez is up there from a strict striker position. You know, Messi's obviously the most difficult matchup, but he's not playing the number 9. Christian Benteke is a tough matchup at the number 9 position in MLS. There's other players on the list as well. Salt Lake, who's the
Arango, player of Chicho.
All right, Chicho. Yeah. Chicho has had a phenomenal season at the number 9 position. Who else am I missing in the league that is up there?
Did you say Cucho Hernandez for Columbus?
Cucho at the 9. Yeah. Yes.
There's Chicho, and then there's Cucho. You don't get your Chichos and your Cuchos mixed up for sure.
Cucho is a player that I don't think he plays like Pat. I think they're two different kind of players.
He's a number 9 who's also a playmaker. He's like a number 9 and a 10 combined.
He's more like Swiderski than he is Pat.
Okay.
He's not a 1v1 player. I think Swiderski is more like Cucho than like Pat. But, you know, other players in MLS, when I think about
– the Benteke comparison is a great one because, you think of like where Benteke has been, you know, scoring, banging in goals in the English Premier League before he came over here. And you could see Ajimong, you know, with all his physical gifts and the head he's got on his shoulders someday playing in the Premier League and making those things happen as well. It's exciting to think about. But we hope he sticks around here for a few more years first. That's all I'm going to say.
Seriously, though. But I think that's the latest on Pat for sure. And we'll figure that out as the season rolls on Charlotte Soccer Show. But I mean, at this point, if I am Mauricio Pochettino, I'm asking questions about who's this Patrick Ajimong kid that plays for Charlotte FC.
Oh man, that's the real dream. I mean, I know everyone loves Timmy Ream, you know, being our For the Crown representative on the U.S. men's national team. But how great would it be to have a striker on the U.S. men's national team coming?
Well, it's not even about like, you know, being on the pitch. I don't think he ever gets into the lineup on a big stage for Team USA. for the United States men's national team. But I do think that because Tim Ream's now on the team, that maybe Tim Ream can help Pat get noticed in a way that maybe he wouldn't have gotten noticed before.
Yeah, great take. Great take. Just if, I mean, he put a little birdie in Potch's ear, you know, get this kid invited to a camp at the very least.
Yeah, just get let Potch get eyes on him and be like, mm-hmm. whoa, this kid is a freak athlete. Like mm-hmm. he's one of the best athletes in the pool.
Yeah,
you know, I think about like a Ricardo Pepe, right? I think about a player like that, and I think about what type of athlete he is. I think Pat meets him right on his level as far as athleticism is concerned.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Pepe's kind of hit or miss. You know, I like Pepe, but I'd like Pat more.
But Pepe's been part of the conversation for years at this point mm-hmm. and hasn't really gotten it done.
Yeah.
Haje Wright is somebody that's on the list as well. Yeah. Haje Wright is a player that is at Coventry, plays in the championship. What would Pat do in the English championship? I think if Pat could get 15 more pounds on him, you know, if he could build, you know, get that muscle really build up and grow into that body, you're talking about like a force to be reckoned with inside the box.
Yeah, and then of course you got your boy Josh Sargent banging in goals for the Canaries. You know, you can't overlook him as far as when we're talking about U.S. men's national picture for strikers. But
good call.
I would love to see Patrick just training with those guys and learning their moves and learning, you know, the little things that have separated them and help them to get where they're at in their careers. I think those are the guys that Patrick needs to be training with in order to take his game to the next level for sure.
There still is hope. I believe Pat's 23 years old, and at 23, you're still at a, you know, an age where you can get a call up, and you typically don't get a call up maybe that late, your first call up that late in the game, but some players fall through the cracks. It's like somebody coming out of, you know what it's like, Danny? It's like somebody in college football coming out of a small school and going on to tear up the NFL. If MLS starts working that way, that would be pretty cool.
Yep. It would be exceptionally cool. And we've seen MLS continue growing popularity. They just posted a thing today, 11 million attendance for the first time ever in league history. Things continue to grow with this league. There's nothing but upside. And, you know, I've been happy to play a small part in attending a bunch of MLS games for the last 3 years. And I can't wait to attend my first home playoff game to bring it all full circle in a couple of weeks. Can't wait.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. He's Danny Brams. I'm John Hayes. One thing I hope I really didn't try to drive up Pat's value there. That's not what I was trying to do.
Secret agent.
Oh man, the bit on the show. I feel like the bit on the show has like turned into real life. That's what I'll say.
I like the sound of that. I like the sound. As long as you get the deal done, Johnny. As long as you get the deal done, we're all happy to engage and indulge in it for sure.
But the problem is now that I might not actually be his agent. Somebody else might be playing that role, and it might actually be happening at this moment. So we'll hope that business gets done for sure. And we hope you join us for another edition of Charlotte Soccer Show. And make sure you follow us. You can follow us on YouTube if you're watching us here. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get the show. You can follow us on Instagram, Charlotte Soccer City. You can follow us on X at For The Crown Baby. And you can follow me, John Hayes, on air. It's good to see you, Danny. It's great to hang out with you and talk about what turned into a good season. I feel like this is the preface to the season review show.
Yeah, no doubt. And the season review show, we're going to look back probably at some of the predictions and things like that. Maybe do beers of the season. You never know. I have one prediction that I know did not pan out whatsoever well that I'll have to eat some crow on. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing where this season does finally end up, and hopefully in a really good place going forward. And we got more episodes to come. It's early October. We are not done yet on this show.
Until next time.
For the crown,
baby. For the crown, baby.